Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist. And welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode of OT Conversations, I'd like us to have a discussion about labeling some of your intervention. So you do a lot of things as an occupational therapist. You do ADL retraining. You do washing and dressing practice. And these are all in terms of interventions. So if you work on sensation, you can do sensory retraining. If you work on perception, you can do perceptual retraining. Sometimes the challenge for a lot of clinicians is labeling what they do. And so they describe the activities. A lot of people are describing the activities. Like, for example, in your sessions, you would do sometimes in your documentation, therapist would say activities with pegs or with marbles. So if you're doing some retraining and you're doing some enabling activities involving all of those basic tasks, like stacking cones, for example, clinicians would be focusing on those activities and they would document that in the notes. While it is good that it is reflective of what happened, is in the eyes of any reader, it becomes a concern because it undermines what we do. It will give the impression that occupational therapists are just doing cones or pegs. And if you are doing that in your documentation and you want to justify what you do and you want to request for staffing in the future, people would be saying, is that all you do? It opens up questions. Instead of doing fine motor control retraining, instead of doing upper limb motor retraining, the emphasis is on what was done rather than the actual intervention. So these next few sessions, I guess sporadically, I will be discussing some of the interventions that you do, but I'm just going to help you label them up. So this is one approach. Particularly for this session, I'll talk to you about this one particular approach that you do anyway. So this is a therapeutic approach that you aim and that you provide, but it is aimed at improving the communication and coordination between the two hemispheres of the brain. And this is achieved by engaging in activities or exercises that require a person to use both hands of the body or both sides of the body, either simultaneously or using it in an alternating manner. Because if you use this, you are stimulating and you're strengthening the neural pathways that connects the left hemisphere and the right hemispheres. And this communication, if you remember your anatomy, it's through via the corpus callosum. Now, in other terminologies, it's called bilateral integration therapy. Yes, upper limb motor reading. But you can label this as a cross-hemispheric facilitation. Boom. There you go, guys. That's one of the best-selling strategies. You can label these activities as a cross-hemispheric facilitation. Okay? Right. It mystifies some of the listeners and the doctors. But in fact, that's what you're doing. You are facilitating cross-hemispheric communication through bilateral integration so you can label your session as such. So when you're doing a cross-hemispheric facilitation, what would be the goals of this? The goal, number one, is you want to enhance bilateral coordination. So you remember that? Enhancing bilateral coordination. So you can have your session as bilateral coordination training. When you're doing that, you want to improve the ability of the person to use both sides of the body in a coordinated manner. So that's one. Another goal of cross-hemispheric facilitation is to stimulate cognitive function. And you want to strengthen the skills of the person, like problem solving, their focus, their memory, their executive function, motor planning. So when you're doing this, it's cognitive motor facilitation, isn't it? So you are stimulating cognitive function. So you're doing cognitive retraining, but by approaching it on the movement side. you're not approaching it on the educational side, but on the physical and movement side. So another goal would be to stimulate the cognitive function. Another goal of this cross-hemispheric facilitation is to promote the neurological recovery. And you want the person, by doing this bilateral integration, you are supporting the brain plasticity in individuals who are recovering from brain injuries like stroke or other neurological conditions. You want them to improve motor skills as well. That's why you would do this. And you want them to have a refined, fine motor and gross motor coordination by stimulating both hemispheres. And you want to support the learning and the development as well. Particularly if you use this with children, it helps the children, for those who has developmental delays or with learning disabilities, or they have sensory integration issues, this is something that you can do. Just remember the terminology, okay? Cross-hemispheric facilitation. Now you would ask, who would benefit from this cross-hemispheric facilitation? Again, the number one beneficiaries of this would be stroke survivors. People who had brain injuries, they would develop from this because you're supporting neural recovery and you're rebuilding the motor and cognitive pathways. For those who's had a stroke, they would rebuild their motor coordination, their cognitive function through the activities that stimulates both sides of the body. Okay. You are also helping children with developmental disorders. For example, for those people who has ADHD, autism spectrum disorder, who has dyslexia, they often involve problems that challenges their bilateral integration. Athletes and performers, yeah, this will improve on that one. It really stimulates the brain. So it will refine their motor coordination and it improves people's spatial awareness. Elderly individuals would benefit from this, and this is to improve their, again, cognitive motor functions, and it reduces the risk of their falls or their cognitive decline. So how does this cross-hemispheric facilitation work? It works in very simple terms, theoretically, just in three ways. It improves the neural pathway activation. It stimulates the corpus callosum. Actually, it stimulates sides of the brain, but then the corpus callosum is the one that transmits. So it facilitates transmission of signal through the corpus callosum of the brain, and it enhances the neuroplasticity. How does it enhance the neuroplasticity? The bilateral movement encourages the brain to adapt, and then it encourages them to reorganize or reform new neural connections to compensate for any problematic concerns, any deficits, for example. In terms of neural pathway activation, the left hemisphere, as you are aware, controls the right side of the body, and then the right hemisphere controls the left side of the body. So cross-hemispheric activities will activate both hemispheres simultaneously, and it strengthens the connection between the two of them. When you are stimulating the corpus callosum, it facilitates the communication between the two hemispheres, and it requires the use and transmission of neural pathways, electrical impulses to the corpus callosum. Now, what would be the techniques that you can do for cross-hemispheric facilitation? You can do bilateral movement exercises. So think of any activities, think of exercises, any activities that involves the coordination of both sides of the body. So dancing is really good for this. So you can have arm and leg crossing patterns, for example. So give them instruction, touch your knee with your right hand. Crawling exercises, particularly with children, it's very hard to do that with if you're in critical care. Oh, but you can think of any activities that will involve bilateral movement and crossing the midline. Mirroring movements. So performing the same movement simultaneously on both sides of the body. So you position one side and then you mirror the other side. Yeah, it's almost just like the proprioceptive, gross proprioception testing. So just mirroring activities. Another one would be clapping hands or synchronized arm lifting, for example. You just have to be creative. you can do cross-body motor activities. And these are activities that will involve crossing the midline of the body. Very straightforward, very easy. You can do drawing like large infinity symbols in the air with one hand, because that would have to cross one side and the other. You can do marching in place, touching the opposite knees and the hands. So gross motor activities. This is exciting, particularly if you're in the ward and you're improving, you wanted to stimulate the elderly population or your patients, thinking of what activities you can provide. That would be it. Cross body motor activities. Another one would be visual motor integration tasks. What are these? These are activities that require the coordination between hand movements and the visual input. For example, very simple, catching or bouncing a ball. So that would be your activity. That's what we do every day or regularly. But don't label it as bouncing balls. You think of it as cross-hemispheric activation or visual motor integration tasks. Yeah. And you want to trace patterns with both hands, like tracing shapes, or you can use the patterns with both hands simultaneously. So that would be a good thing. One very important thing that is actually activating both sides would be music and rhythm-based activities. So you want to play musical instruments, rhythmic clapping and games. Very easy, very wonderful thing to do. And the other one would be some cognitive motor integration. Combining movements with cognitive challenges to stimulate both hemispheres. Like, for example, calling out colors or numbers while performing bilateral movements. Lots of games, man. Very easy. These are some of the techniques that you can use. So when labeling your sessions, I've almost given you 6 on top of the cross-hemispheric facilitation, haven't I? Bilateral movement exercises provided with mirror movements, cross-body motor activities, visual motor integration tasks, music and rhythm-based activities, cognitive motor integration activities. Boom, there we go. Those are best-selling treatments. And if you challenge the effectiveness of this or the efficiency of this or the usefulness or evidence-based, I leave it to you guys. These things have been happening out there. It's only up to you and how you want to prove that. Okay, so what would be the benefits of cross-hemispheric facilitation? The benefits would be you would be improving the coordination. You would be providing cognitive enhancements to your patients. You can have emotional regulation. You are facilitating neural recovery, and you are helping developmental support of those children who has become if they need to overcome learning and motor coordination challenges. Who can use these things? Yes, occupational therapists, definitely. I am giving you a first-hand information about this as occupational therapist. I am cheering for you. I am rooting for you. But anyways, OT can use it. Physio can do it. Speech therapy can do it. Educational interventions, for example, educational approaches can actually use this, and they can use these terminology. Why not? It's not a protective term, but know that it is a term that you can use. How do you want to be careful about these things? As always, when you're doing your interventions, you should tailor your activities so that it would suit the individual, and you want to provide consistency as well. So regular practice is definitely essential. So you don't do this for 5-15 minutes and that's it. You leave them and then you see them after 3 days again. The reason why you're doing this is because you want to stimulate the brain. You want them to recover, develop neural pathways. So you want to be consistent. You want to provide as much as you can. You want to provide intense therapy. And if you're working in stroke, neuro rehab, the time alone, the amount of time that you're doing will facilitate recovery and improvement. And some of the precautions would be professional supervision. So when you're doing this, and if it's difficult for the patients, if they can't move and you say they have paralyzed half of their body, is paralyzed, you're going to do bilateral integration, that would just frustrate them. So you need some professional supervision on this, meaning the individuals recovering from strokes, for example, and brain injury, should work under the guidance of a trained therapist to ensure that it is really safe and effective. Again, it is creativity, guys. It's therapeutic creativity. It's treatment creativity. And that is what is called upon. There you go. Cross-hemispheric facilitation. Remember this. This is a versatile, it is evidence-based approach. It's there. It's been around since God knows how long. The thing is, every time there are new graduates, they'll be asking for new evidence-based. Truly, the lifespan of research is about 5 years or so, and then it gets forgotten. Yeah, it's there in the annals of any libraries. And because it's old, people don't want to think that it's effective anymore. But it's been done already. It's been happening, okay? Rhythm, music, to a point where music therapists came about now. Because of this, these are the ones that other professions are basing their philosophical foundations on. Okay, there we go. Cross-hemispheric facilitation, it's leveraging on the brain's neural plasticity so that you would like the person to improve their coordination. You want them to enhance their learning and recovery. And it's just an important thing that you do, particularly if you're working in critical care, right? Again, I have lots of interest at the moment in the practice of occupational therapy in critical care. In critical care, you can just easily do this. If you don't know how to label your session, as long as you're using both sides, you can label it as cross-hemisphere facilitation. Okay? So there you go, guys. I hope you learned a little something today, and I hope you enjoyed this talk. If you do, talk to your friends about it. Not about this podcast, although it would help. I meant have this discussion with your friends. Learn together. Grow together. Be the best occupational therapist you can be. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye. If you enjoyed this podcast, talk to your friends and colleagues about it. Like it, subscribe, share, and do what you can to appease whatever algorithm that is at play. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.